Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All righty, hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We do have week four of the NFL season starting up tonight, as you do have in Arizona, the Cardinals taking on the Seattle Seahawks. And for some reason during the break, I don't know how I did this. I tangled up my headphones. So that's why the last 50 seconds right there, I kind of felt naked because I couldn't hear anything and I had to untangle my headphones. And I saw that I was already on camera. So I guess you saw I untangle headphones. But that's how we're kicking off week four of the NFL season. Untangling headphones, and hopefully tonight you don't want to put headphones in and ignore what's going on your television. Now, I really hope tonight that this is a good game. And when I mean a good game, not just a close game. Like, because there's some close games that are bad games. If this is a game in the fourth quarter where you could tell Al Michaels wants to go to sleep, I'm not going to be thrilled tonight. Because I know Santa's a little bit tired today. I don't know why. Right after I pointed out Santa's lack of energy today. All right, as I got back on the air, I'm exhausted right now. And I'm getting over a little sickness, a little cold, and I feel good today. But man, now I'm tired for these final 60 minutes of the show. I do have a Costco order, by the way, that is coming to my house, and that's always an adventure. So I ordered it from 6 to 8 p.m. for having to deliver. And Beth, I guess, who's doing the shopping, I just got an alert that she's doing the shopping. So it doesn't feel like it's going to be one of those nights where it's 10 p.m. and the Costco order still hasn't got delivered.
You said Beth is delivering your food. And I'm like, who's Beth? Oh, what is this all about? I was very confused.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got a good snack for tonight. And you always got to get a good snack on Thursday Night Football. So I'm going to go home. And I have some soup broth left over. So I'm going to throw that in the pot. Add a little salt in it. I also have some small chicken meatballs left in the fridge. So I'm going to put those in the air fryer, and then I think I'm just going to throw it in the soup, which that may sound disgusting, but I actually think it tastes good. So that's what I'm going to do. So I'll have soupy meatballs tonight is what I'm going to do. But, and I emphasize soupy meatballs there, just to be clear. Santa had a little like smirk right there, like I said something that was like juvenile or something like that. But anyway, the snack tonight. You want to guess what my snack of choice is tonight for week four of the NFL season? You need a hint, or do you want to just guess here?
My guess is something buffalo related, so I'm going to go like a buffalo chicken poppers.
No. It's not. You know what? That's what I probably should have done. Buffalo chicken poppers. When I was a kid, I loved me a good chicken popper. Buffalo chicken poppers. I really love me a buffalo chicken popper, but no, it's not that.
Trader Joe's has some great buffalo chicken poppers, and there I am. Where's the money, Traders? Come on.
Let me tell you.
Plugola.
No, I thought for a second that Ack was the biggest sycophant to Trader Joe's, because like Ack, you know, 3-4 days out of the week, he'll bring something in from Trader Joe's and heats it up in the kitchen. As much as Ack loved Trader Joe's, that pales in comparison to Samter's love for Trader Joe's.
You want to hear something sick? My wife and I were house hunting, and we came down to two houses that we liked.
And one was near Trader
Joe's.
One
was 25 minutes from Trader Joe's. One was 6 minutes from Trader Joe's. And so we went with the one that was 6 minutes from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
That was one of the tie-breaking decisions.
That's crazy.
wasn't the tiebreaker, but it was one of
them. Like, don't get me. When I grew up as a kid, they had a Trader Joe's on Long Island. I don't really use the Trader Joe's in the city because I have a Whole Foods 2 blocks from my apartment. I don't think I would base my decision on buying a house on how close Trader Joe's is. So that's why we love you. Stu, you want to take a guess what the snack is tonight?
Let's go pigs in a blanket.
It's not pigs in the blanket.
He does love pigs in the blanket.
I think pigs in the blanket is one of the great unifiers in our country. I think it doesn't matter if you hate someone, you know, if you're Democrat, Republican. If you put a pig in the blanket in front of two people that hate each other, I think they come together and they sing Kumbaya over that pig in the blanket.
Unless one of them's vegan.
I think even a vegan would like a pig in a blanket. I'm kidding. I don't want anyone to get offended. And the next thing you know, our former boss, Spike Eskin, will be like, oh, you really offended me. You know, he was vegan. Yeah, he still is vegan.
Not surprised.
How could a guy do afternoon drive, Philadelphia, and not eat a cheesesteak?
I mean, he weighs like 19 pounds.
That is true. Spike is a skinny man.
I mean, he's very proud of his weight loss journey, so good for him.
Yeah. No, I knew Spike longer than pretty much anybody here. I didn't know Spike because we once bonded over our weight loss journey together. And I said, Spike, I never knew you when you were fat. I never knew Spike when he was fat. And he goes, oh, I got some pictures. And he showed me some pictures. Now, Spike is a skinny jean guy, though. He loves to wear those skinny jeans. I'll tell you, I took a photo with Tommy Lugauer at Marash's house. Someone commented, like, does Tommy spray paint on the jeans now? Like, the jeans are so tight.
Yeah.
And Lugauer is a great dude. But no, it's not pigs in the blanket. It's not buffalo chicken poppers. Man, you guys gave two great appetizers. It's a snack. I got trail mix. I got an industrial-sized trail mix, which, let me tell you, I plow through the trail mix. It's disgusting. They give you a big bag of trail. It's huge.
I go through
Costco order.
Yeah.
It lasts me a week, I'm impressed.
A week?
If it lasts me a week, I'm impressed.
If it lasts you 3 days, I'd be impressed.
When I had a roommate once, I may have been on the Stew diet one night. Let me just say that. And
Watching the Raiders?
I was watching the Raiders and eating General Tso's chicken. I may have had too much of the trail mix that we just ordered. So I told a complete lie. I went to the Whole Foods up the block and I go, you'll never believe it. I go, they put an extra bag of trail mix in there. And I just dumped it in the bag, our industrial size bag, because I didn't want them to realize that I ate the majority of the trail mix. So that's what I did. That's like my best friend too.
That's a bold move.
I don't think he would have cared, but I just dumped it in. It was like, oh, if you notice there's a few different raisins in there or different kind of M&Ms. I walked out of the store and there was a free bag. They messed it up. The bagger put an extra bag of trail mix in there. So I did tell. That was the last time I think I told a white lie.
It's the perfect crime.
Yeah, well, I felt bad. I was like, here I am. I go, you know, as Scott Farrell would say, that fat ass. I was eating all the trail mix. I was doing a little bit of the Stew diet, and I ate too much of the trail mix. And when I was a roommate with someone, you got to be courteous of the roommate. You guys are splitting the Costco order, so you got to eat the proper amount, and you can't kind of cross that 50-50 line. And did I cross that 50-50 line? I think it was like 75% of the bag was gone. So, yeah, trail mix is pretty good. So I'll probably have like 2 cups of trail mix tonight. That's what I say. So that means I'll have like 3 or 4 cups of trail mix. Anyway, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Tonight, week 4 of the NFL season kicks off. It's the Cardinals up against the Seahawks. Here are 3 things to watch in this one. Number one, it's the quarterback matchup. Like Santer and Sue, they just named elite foods in terms of the appetizers. Trail mix is a good snack. Everyone likes it. Like, it's fine. But outside of me, who's really craving trail mix for a football game? You're craving the buffalo chicken poppers. You're craving the pigs in the blanket. This is not Mahomes Lamar. This is not Baker Jalen Hurts. It's a fine quarterback matchup, but it's not something that is highly coveted. So both of these quarterbacks, they are highly thought of years ago. Kyler was a number 1 overall pick. Sam Darnold was a 3rd overall pick. Or second or third? I think it was 3rd overall pick. Yeah, because Saquon was 2 and Baker Mayfield was 1. So you look at both these quarterbacks, Their ceiling now in the NFL is good. Not very good, not great, not elite, but the floor gets really ugly. And there are moments where Kyler Murray has a, oh my goodness gracious moment, and it's not intended an oh my goodness gracious moment being a good moment. There are moments, especially at the end of last year, where Sam Darnold's like, oh my goodness gracious, man, the old Sam Darnold is back. So I think whoever is just more average tonight, you know, who is fine, I think that team ends up winning the game between Kyler and Sam Darnold. Now, another thing to watch for is Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think I'm more confused about a player or a situation more than I am with Marvin Harrison Jr. right now. And I don't know whose fault it is. So you go back to last year, he was disappointing. You know, you saw the numbers that Malik Nabers put up. You saw the numbers that Brian Thomas Jr. put up. You know, you've seen receivers immediately come into the league and take the league by storm. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, even to an extent that he was a surprise, Puka Nacua. So it's not impossible for a rookie to be a stud. And Marvin Harrison Jr. kind of went the route of his father, where it was an okay rookie season, but it wasn't anything that blew your socks off. So going into year two, this was supposed to be the year of acceleration. This was supposed to be the year of improvement. And this was supposed to be the great year of Marvin Harrison Jr., which is why I thought when he was coming out of Ohio State, I said to myself, wow, this guy's a slam dunk, surefire Hall of Famer, right? That's what I thought of him. So in the first 2 weeks of the season, there was a quote from Kyler Murray, and Kyler did this last year where he's like, there's a lot of mouths to feed. We can't force the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr. And I was kind of turned off by Kyler Murray's answer because it was almost like, I don't care if Marvin Harrison Jr. is not getting the ball. It's either we win or we lose, which is a quarterback answer. But you need Marvin Harrison Jr. to be great if the Arizona Cardinals are going to make the playoffs this year. So there has to be a heightened awareness. There has to be some attention and some extra attention that needs to go to Marvin Harrison Jr. But then last week, when I walked into last week thinking this was more of a Kyler Murray problem, not a Marvin Harrison Jr. problem. And then last week, I'm watching the game, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide open. You know, I really do hate when talk show hosts say they could do things that professional athletes can't do, right? But I'll tell you, if I put Stu at the 45-yard line last weekend, like standing still, wide open, and Kyler Murray hit him in the hands, I think Stu could have caught that pass. I think Samter could have caught that pass. I think I could have caught that pass. And Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think the world of, is wide open, and he dropped it. Now, that to me shows me that there's something mental going on here. Where do I think Marvin Harrison Jr. can physically play in the league? Yes. But whether it was the disappointment of last year, maybe some frustration with this quarterback, I don't care what it is. You know, I'm not going to sit there and say he has the yips, right? I'm not going to say that. But dropping that ball says to me there's a bigger problem than what I thought. And it doesn't matter where the blame is. It's clearly now getting to Marvin Harrison Jr. And maybe he's having some self-doubt if he could be the player that he once was at Ohio State now in the NFL because he's used to being great and he wasn't great last year. So there's something there. Well, you know what alleviates that pressure? Go get in the end zone tonight. You know, go have 8 catches for 100 yards and go win a game tonight. But I'm curious what version of Marvin Harrison Jr. we do get tonight. And then finally, I know we're all offense, offense, offense here. And the Seahawks have a good defense under Mike McDonald. They've been good to start the season. But I'm also zeroing in on both these running backs. I think Kenneth Walker will get in the end zone tonight. You know, Sam Darnold, you got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You no longer have Tyler Lockett. You no longer have DK Metcalf. A run game could help you. So I'll be curious if they could run the ball tonight in usually a short week, which tends to be a sloppy game, and maybe a turnover could be the difference. But then on the other side, James Conner, he's now out. for the season. So what are the Cardinals going to look like in terms of running the football when you take a glance at that room now? As you have Trey Benson, as he's going to get the majority of that carries. And maybe Michael Carter, who used to play for the Jets, who's now out there, he ends up playing a role. And Benson ended up getting picked in the third round, 66 overall, back in 2024. So I'm just curious what both of these backfields are going to look like. And maybe an under-the-radar player here, and this is something that you lose a Lockett, you lose a DK Metcalf, someone else is going to have to step up. And obviously Jackson Smith and Jigba is their number one wide receiver there. And to start the season, he has 323 receiving yards. That's second in the league. And he's fifth in receptions with 22. And I was a big fan of Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, I'm not a huge fan of Ohio State, but anytime there's an Ohio State wide receiver, I do think the wide receiver usually does end up being well. And Cooper Kupp is there, sure. And Cooper Kupp's not the same player that he once was. But this kid, Torrey Horton, to start the season, he's got five catches for 64 yards. You know, it's only two touchdowns. Out of Colorado State, he's a rookie, fifth-round pick. You know, I'll be curious what he is and what he does tonight. Because the last two games, he's had two touchdowns. Had a touchdown against Pittsburgh, and he had a touchdown up against New Orleans. So I'm curious if this is just a two-week stretch or if there's more there as they try to look at their new trifecta at wide receiver, where last year was Tyler Lockett, it was DK Metcalf, it was Jackson Smith and Jigba, and now you're going with Jackson Smith and Jigba, Cooper Kupp, and Torrey Horton. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Some things to look at as we kick off week four tonight between the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. When we come on back, so we always talk about who's the best quarterbacks in college football. Let's highlight some guys that are underrated. Right now, who's an underrated quarterback in college football? Sampton will give you an answer when we come on back. Stu will give you an answer when we come on back. And, of course, myself, Zach Gelb, will give you an answer as well when we come on back right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's get to this segment right now, which we're going to go around the room here. We're going to ask for a college football quarterback that is the most underrated quarterback in the country right now. You know, obviously, you look at this weekend, you got Oregon, you got Penn State, a lot of intrigue on that matchup with Dante Moore and going up against Drew Aller. You got Ty Simpson going up against Gunnar Stockton. Like, all four of those quarterbacks are well-known. So when we get to some quarterback matchups, who's a quarterback, in your opinion, with what he's done so far this season, the first three, 4 weeks or so, that you just think is a really underrated quarterback? I will start things off with Michael Samter. Samter, what do you got cooking for us?
I'm going to go. It's a guy we actually mentioned earlier today when we're doing this QB or that QB, but Talen Green of Arkansas. Now, granted, he's a senior, so he's got a little bit of age on there, but he's 6'6", 224. He's got 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 4 picks so far this year, including in a game against Ole Miss. He had 305 yards and a touchdown. But he's also had a game with 9 carries, 151 yards, and a touchdown, 14 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown, 53 yards rushing. So he's got 1,200 yards, 400 yards on the ground, two more touchdowns on the ground there, too. He's only been sacked 3 times, right? So you can tell he's elusive. It's just a guy in a conference loaded with quarterbacks that we're just not talking about or thinking about. And considering the games that they've got coming up, we might hear a lot more about him.
Well, he is their offense.
He is.
Because you talked about the passing numbers. I know you briefly talked about the rushing numbers. To put the rushing numbers in perspective, he's also their leading rusher right now. 360 rushing yards on the season on 44 carries. Mike Washington Jr. has 46 carries. He's their second leading rusher with 330 rushing yards. So not only is he dominating through the air, already nearly 1,200 passing yards, 12 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, but he's also dominating on the ground as well. And you look at Arkansas, all right, obviously no one's going to sit there and praise them that much after beating Alabama, A&M, and Arkansas State. They did lose to Ole Miss, and they did lose to Memphis last week. So the Memphis one's a bad one. But, like, Memphis isn't a slouch of a program, let's be clear, too. But and they're 4-0, and they've produced, obviously, some coaches that have gone on to get Power 5 jobs. But Ole Miss, they only lost 41-35, and they lost to Memphis by 1 point. Get a play or two here or there that just go a different way. They could be sitting there being 4-0. They're not. They're 2-2. But it's not because of their quarterback. And their next 3 weeks, this is what's going to be fascinating to me. The next 3 games, I should say, because there's a bye week. They have Notre Dame this weekend. Stu, your defense stinks right now.
Not a good defense.
I think Notre Dame wins, but Talen Green's going to be able to cook. Then after that, they play Tennessee. And they play A&M. Now, A&M, Roman Harper said it. I know they're 9th in the country, so it's weird to say that they're underrated. A&M, I'm buying. I like their quarterback in Marcel Reed. I like their coach in Mike Elko. I didn't like the process and how they got Mike Elko there. Because the fan base, they rejected Mark Stoops, who's done a good job at Kentucky. It's time, though, for Kentucky probably to find somebody else. I do get that. But these next 3 games, even though you already have 2 losses, so like Arkansas, no one thought they were going to make the college football playoff anyway heading into the season, and Sam Pittman's job is on the line. But these next 3 games to them, you win one of them, that changes a lot on the outlook of the way that you're looking at this football team. And they're not going to be favored in any of those 3 games. They're going to be expected to lose all 3 of them. It would not surprise me because of Sanders' point, because of who the quarterback is, if they find a way getting one of those victories. All righty, Stu, who's your underrated quarterback?
All right, mine is Duke quarterback Darian Mensah, the Tulane transfer who has been very good for Duke so far this year. He is 3rd in the country in passing yards with just over 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions, leading the ACC in passing touchdowns. Obviously, going into the season, we would have thought Cade Klubnik, Carson Beck, but right now it is Mensah who has been very good. Now, Duke has lost 2 games, so that has not been great, but he's been pretty good in all 4 games he's played this year, so it's hard to blame him.
Yeah, when they got blown out by Illinois, I thought they were actually alive in that game going in because the spread was funky. It was only like a 2.5-point spread. If you can't tell, I was the one that bet Duke. I also bet Baylor, though, that week, and Baylor came on back with Sawyer Robertson to get that victory up against SMU. But when they lose to Illinois, I don't think anyone's going to sit there at the time and say, oh, that's like a hard... How they lost since it was a blowout in the second half, yeah, it wasn't good. But in the large scheme of things, if you tell me Illinois beats Duke, no one's going to crush you. Now, little did we know a few weeks later, Illinois was going to go up against Kurt Cignetti, and Kurt Cignetti would basically smoke a cigarette on them and say, Google me afterwards. I still can't... What was that, 63-10 or whatever it was? That was wild. The one that I think pains the Duke fan and my dear friend Manny Diaz, is the loss to Tulane. Because Darian Mensah was their quarterback last year. You stole their quarterback because of name, image, and likeness in the transfer portal, and you still couldn't beat them. Now, to Stu's point, the quarterback is playing well. They got the win last week up against NC State, which is a good win for Duke, obviously, inside the ACC. But the quarterback's playing well, completing nearly 68% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, isn't doing anything really on the ground. But that loss to Tulane is the one that really just does stand out to you. But now Duke plays Syracuse this weekend. And I'm not telling you Duke's going to win the game, but wouldn't it be so typical ACC? Syracuse gets this enormous win last week up against Clemson, and then they have a stinker up against Duke. And I think there's some history, actually, between Fran Brown and Manny Diaz. I'm pretty sure. See, this is a Zach Gelb nugget. I'm pretty sure when Manny Diaz was the coach at Temple for all 17 days, and it was really more 12 or 13 because he was new and he knew he was getting the Miami job, and he still tried to act like he was the coach at Temple. He did bring Fran Brown back to Temple. So technically, Fran never worked on Manny Diaz's staff because Manny never coached a game. But the recruiting and all that stuff, I think they were together behind the scenes for that lovely 17-day tenure that Manny Diaz did have on North Broad Street, even though I'm now on to the Casey Keeler era, which I'm liking Casey Keeler coming over from Delaware, and I think it was Sam Houston State. And he's done a good job with my Owls so far to start this season. They didn't get embarrassed against Georgia Tech. You know, I know they lost to Oklahoma, but they were playing Oklahoma. It was like 75-3. So I've been impressed with the job Casey Keeler's doing. But anyway, my quarterback is going to be Josh Hoover. TCU was dominant to start the season up against North Carolina. Then they played Abilene Christian. This was a game that really wasn't talked about, though, last week. TCU beat SMU 35-24. And Josh Hoover in that game had not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 passing touchdowns. So he had 5 passing touchdowns. I know it's not the same team, but SMU has a lot of players that are back that went to the college football playoff last year. And Sonny Dykes had a good season last year. They're building off that once again. Remember, Sonny Dykes had him in his first year in the national championship game. So last year, they got things back on track. And this team to start off the year is 3-0. And Josh Hoover on the season has 1,000 passing yards, 11 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. And he doesn't really do anything on the ground. That's a 6'2 quarterback, 200 pounds, big arm, easy to root for. I've been impressed so far with TCU and the Horned Frogs and also their quarterback in Josh Hoover. And this weekend, I think that's actually tomorrow night, Friday night, actually. That's still part of the weekend. At 9 p.m. Eastern time. This is not the Troll Samter, by the way, going with Josh Hoover. But they are going with the Arizona State. They're all going up against the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Uh-huh.
It's not to troll you.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm being serious. I like Arizona State. Kenny Dillingham and Sam Levitt. And you guys got that victory up against Baylor last week, which was good for you guys. You guys needed that victory. But Arizona State has TCU, Utah, Texas Tech the next 3 weeks. That's pretty fun. That's good. And then you take a look at TCU. They play Arizona State, then Colorado, who, by the way, we didn't talk about this last week. Colorado, going into you, no clue was going to play quarterback. Week one, it was Caden Salter. Then week two, it got all away from them, where they played Caden Salter, Juju Lewis, and then Ryan Staub. Then Staub is starting that next game. It was a disaster. They went back to Caden Salter. I know they're playing Wyoming, and Josh Allen's not there, so let's not freak out about Wyoming. But he was 18-28 for 304 yards, Caden Salter, and 3 touchdowns, and he led the team in rushing. 11 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. So Caden Salter, I guess, is back in the good graces of Coach Prime with Colorado. And Colorado this week, they do have Kalani Sitake and BYU, and then they will play my underrated quarterback in Josh Hoover the following week with TCU. Can I just ask a quarterback, and do you think he is underrated? I'm just going to ask this quarterback.
Okay.
Dylan Raiola, who last year, there were such high expectations. He had a good start. They did win a bowl game, but the numbers weren't great. And then heading into this year, a lot of people weren't talking about him. And that offensive line was horrendous up against Michigan. He got sacked 7 or 8 times, getting hit every play. And Dylan Raiola was the only reason why that game was close for Nebraska. And I thought he had a good game up against Michigan, even though they lost the game and they really needed to win that game, but they didn't lose the game because of the quarterback. They lost the game because they couldn't stop the run and they couldn't block for the quarterback. So Dylan Raiola, since he was so hyped last year, and then the hype train, it felt like nationally did slow down. I asked this to Matt when he joined this Matt Rhule last week. Do you feel like your quarterback is disrespected? He goes, I just feel like people should appreciate my quarterback more. Is Dylan Raiola now an underrated quarterback in college football? Just wondering.
I think Matt Rhule said it best. It's just people haven't been watching him or paying attention. I think that if you do, you realize that he's very good. I wouldn't say he's underrated. He's just, people have kind of forgotten about him.
Okay.
I think it's more that he's just not in the front of people's minds. But when people remember about him and start looking at him and watching him, they'll be like, oh yeah, that's the guy who was like the 5-star number one recruit who went to Nebraska.
I think the Mahomes stuff actually hurts him.
Where
it's weird because, right, you grew up as a kid idolizing someone. And I'm not saying like he grew up idolizing Mahomes, but the last few years they develop a relationship, they work out together, and he looks like Mahomes, right? He mimics Mahomes and he does all that stuff. I've never understood the discourse there where people hate him for imitating Mahomes. That part I never really got. But I look at Raiola. Through four games this season, he's completing 75.6% of his passes. 75.6% of his passes. 11 touchdowns, one interception. And he's thrown for over 1,100 yards. Those are insane numbers. And he's at a place where they're still building. Nebraska has been, they were a mess under Scott Frost. Last year, they finally won a bowl game, got to a bowl game for the first time forever. And now you got to take that next step forward. Now, they failed up against Michigan. They didn't fail because of the quarterback. But you look at the Nebraska schedule the rest of the way. They play Michigan State. They play Maryland. They play Minnesota. You play Northwestern. I'm actually going to that game. Then they have a big one up against USC, UCLA, Penn State, and Iowa. So the last 4 weeks, the schedule does pick up. They got to beat Michigan State. They got to beat Maryland. They got to beat Minnesota. They got to beat Northwestern. They got to put themselves in position where when you enter the final 4 weeks of the season, USC, UCLA, Penn State, and Iowa, that you only lose one game and that you end the season with two losses on your resume. I thought they were a four-loss football. I thought they'd be 8-4 heading into this season. I could see them being 9-3. I could see Nebraska being 9-3 because Raiola's playing that well. But that line's got to improve. And then they're missing Ty Robinson, who's now with the Eagles, because he was phenomenal last year with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, because they could have really used him to stuff the run and stuff our guest from yesterday in Justice Haynes, who did break off a 75-yard rushing touchdown up against him, and Jordan Marshall as well. And, you know, it was good to see Bryce Underwood play well, because he wasn't as bad as the way that offense played up against Oklahoma. So it was good for him to have that moment. And Michigan's another team now where I think Michigan's one of those teams you're like, okay, how do you evaluate Michigan now? Because, yeah, they lost to Oklahoma. They beat Nebraska. I think 2 weeks from now when they play USC, that's a big test. It's a big test for Lincoln Riley. It's a big test for Sherrill Moore. And then that will give us a better idea of really what this Michigan team's going to be. And I would anticipate next weekend that Michigan's going to be able to beat Wisconsin, because right now it is ugly for Luke Fickell. You know, I know Barry Alvarez. You know, come on. I know a coach never likes to hear someone say, oh, someone should lose their job and fire the coach. But what else should the Wisconsin Badgers fan chant? They're going to blow it out against Maryland. They didn't show up against Maryland. What else do you expect about them? Maryland quarterback's actually pretty good, too. You know, you got to give him credit with what he's been able to do to start the season. Malik Washington. Now, that's another underrated quarterback, potentially, when we get to this underrated quarterback conversation. His completion percentage is not that good. But he does have 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, over 1,000 yards. You take that for Maryland. There's no doubt about that with Mike Locksley as their head coach. And he also has 2 rushing touchdowns. All right, we'll take a break. When we come on back, we're going to do something that we usually don't do in football season. There's a lot going on in the baseball world. Tigers choking. Mets choking. George Springer thinks the MLB is fixed. We'll get into all those storylines and also give you a thought on the AL MVP race when we come on back. And I did make a bet today. I made a group bet today. My fantasy baseball chat, they made a group bet about the AL MVP. We'll tell you who we did select when we come on back. Update time. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So I got two Yankee fans sitting across from me. I got Samter and I got Stu. So Aaron Judge last night hit two home runs. It was his 50th and 51st home run of the season. So he has a .328 average, 51 home runs, and 109 RBIs. His OPS is 1.136.
It's nuts.
Which is crazy. So he's first in average, fourth in home runs, and tied for sixth in RBIs, and OPS is first, obviously. Cal Raleigh has a .248 average, 60 home runs, 125 RBIs, and an OPS of .959. So that's tied for 98th in average, first in home runs, second in RBIs, OPS third. So I think I know where Samter's going to answer, so I'll ask Samter first. I do not know where Stu is going to answer. Samter, who should win the AL MVP? Is it Cal Raleigh or is it Aaron Judge?
I mean, listen, it's going to be tough. I think it has to be Judge. It feels like this is a special year for Cal Raleigh. And maybe there's some Aaron Judge fatigue. Judge did miss some time. He's played like eight or nine less games, seven or eight games fewer than Cal Raleigh. So that can kind of account for the fewer home runs and RBI. When you have an OPS at 1.13, you're hitting .330 and you're going to, you know, hit over 50 home runs with a league-leading batting average. His WAR is like 9.6 also. And like, I know I'm not all about the new stats, but like, he is legitimately a good. Like, every single stat is the best that you could possibly have. Plus, he plays a great right field when he's not hurt. Cal Raleigh's defense as a catcher is not the best. It's, like, average for a catcher. If he was, like, a Gold Glove-style catcher, then maybe that would help, the fact that he's a catcher doing this offensively. But, like, I don't know. It's
him's hitting 60 home runs as a catcher.
No, it's nuts. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. But like, if he was like a Gold Glove style or caliber catcher behind the plate, it would mean more to me than just, okay, yeah, he plays catcher and he's doing well on the offensive side.
Okay, so I knew you were going to go with the Yankee. Stu, I don't know where you're going to go on this mm-hmm. one. So what is your take on the AL MVP?
I would vote for Cal Raleigh because he's 60 home runs as a catcher is insane. And the fact that he's doing it for a Mariners team, leading them to the playoffs, a team that hasn't made the playoffs in almost 25 years, I just think this is a year that you have to reward. Look, are we going to see Cal Raleigh hit 50, 55 home runs next year? Probably not. I think you have to reward that. I know that's maybe lame because, okay, Aaron Judge is still amazing. It's the same thing with Ohtani, right? Like, these are the two best players in the sport, Ohtani and Judge, no doubt. But I think these other guys have great years, you have to reward them, yeah. Even if that penalizes Aaron Judge for who was also having an amazing year.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think when you're a catcher doing this,
yeah,
and I'll disagree with Samter in terms of the guy won a Gold Glove last year. So that's where, like, that's where I think it enhances the argument for Cal Raleigh is the fact that he's putting up these numbers with the wear and tear and everything that happens to you behind the plate, right? Now, even with that being said, I do think something Samter said maybe end up being the difference is the fatigue factor. Like, and we see that more at the NBA. LeBron should have more MVP awards. Embiid got it right 1 year. And sometimes when you're just not the guy, you end up being the guy when you have the guy type of season when the other guy still probably deserves it. So I do wonder the fatigue part about that. Raleigh right now is the betting favorite. Judge right now, my friends and I made a bet today. We threw $25 each at +180 and we put it down, you know, small unit. We put it down on Aaron Judge. I think it was like seven or eight of us. $200 wins $560 if it pays out. He's at +180 right now. Here's the difference for me why I would vote Judge if I had to vote, which I don't. It's the average. He's got a .328 average. Like, you look at the numbers, and I'm not expecting a catcher right to hit .328. But average .248 to .328. Home runs, 60 to 51. RBIs, 125 to 109. That average is the one that is the huge discrepancy. So that's why I would end up going with Aaron Judge. But if the big dumper wins the AL MVP, am I going to be sitting here and freaking out? Absolutely not. How could you be upset if a guy with the nickname the big dumper ends up winning the AL MVP? Tigers fans, it's terrible right now. He had a 15 or 16 game lead. And right now, if the season ended today, you're not winning the Central. So you look at that run by the with Scooball and how much Stu and I love Scooby Dooby Doo, how they have choked this away. And I feel like the national attention hasn't really been directed to the Tigers because, right, the Mets paid Juan Soto. The Mets at one point were, what, 22 games over 500? And the Mets, they might not even make the postseason. The Mets lost last night, but because the Reds lost, they still had a, you know, the game lead in the wild card for what happened the night before. But those two teams, the Mets and the Tigers, at the end of the week, if they're not in the postseason, you're talking about two all-time gag jobs. You really are. And I never thought anything worse in my life would be 2007 with the Mets when they were up 17. Oh, they're up 7 with 17 to play. And that's an all-time terrible choke. That's like the Yankees being up 3-0 in the ALCS and blowing it to the Red Sox. But I actually think this one would be more painful. And this one would be more disappointing. Because here's what I would say. The Mets choking a 7-game lead with 17 to play would be like if you're 32 years old, you're healthy, you're walking on the side of the road, and unfortunately a truck takes you out and you die. I know that's a little graphic, but like you die instantly. It was quick, it ended, it's horrible, it's tragic, right? Everyone can acknowledge. The Mets this year would be like if you got diagnosed with an illness and you were supposed to live for like 5 months, but you end up living for 10 to 15 years, but you had zero quality of life, and it was just a sad, slow, painful death. You know, if I'm going to go, I'd rather just go quickly. I don't want pain, suffering, slow, painful death, even though I'm still living, but have zero quality of life. And that's what this version of the Mets is right now if they don't make the postseason. Now, the last thing, and I think this will tick Stu off. I thought Stu was going to say Cal Raleigh. How about George Springer the other night? Now, don't get me wrong. That ball was fair. The umpire messed it up. It should be reviewable. But that guy saying, oh, if New York just, and John Boyd did a great job, whatever he said, if they want New York to win, just let them win it. They want to just, what? That guy bitching about the integrity. And I'm not even, like, I didn't freak out. Like I'm over the Astros stuff, whatever. It's not a big deal to me anymore, right? The Astros went after that. But that guy now on the Blue Jays bitching about the integrity of the sport, Stu, I thought that was ironic, hypocritical, and rich. And I know that definitely ticked you off and you were probably laughing at it.
Yeah, it's definitely a bad look because, look, just read the room when you're mouthing
that. Go bang a trash can when you complain.
Yeah, he's also someone that absolutely annihilates the Yankees. He did with the Astros and he does with the Blue Jays. Even this year, he has a bunch of home runs against the Yankees this year. So, I don't know. That's just a wild thing for him to say.
Yeah, no, that definitely had me laughing. All right, and that is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thank you to Roman Harper. Tomorrow we'll have a big show for you. We'll recap Cardinals and Seahawks. We'll also get you lined up for another weekend of the NFL, plus a ton of college football. We got some monster, and I mean monster games this weekend in the world of college football. Stu, thank you. Sam, thank you. Ack, thank you. But most importantly, a big thank you to each and every one of you for tuning in, however you do listen to us or watch us, whether it's across one of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, or streaming live on YouTube. We'll talk manana on a Football Friday right at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. I'm Zach Gelb. Follow me Twitter, Instagram, at Zach Gelb, or on TikTok, at The Zach Gelb Show. We'll talk on Friday, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Have a good night. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.